Hey, superhero fans, this is Violet Bean. I play Jesse Wells, also known as Jesse Quick, on The Flash. And you're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Hello out there, comic book connoisseurs. Welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I am your host, Joe Stuber. Welcome to the lair. Kick back. Stay a while. Another super cool conversation is coming your way today. This week, I'm opening up the breach into Earth 2 for a chat with my special guest from the CW hit show, The Flash, actress Violet Bean. She will be along rather quickly, I must say. On the show, Violet plays Jesse Wells, hopefully soon to be the speedster Jesse Quick. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the outrageous season 2 finale. Spoiler alerts aplenty. If you are not caught up on the show, we're going to be talking about the finale. And also where we could be headed with season 3 of The Flash. All that is coming your way. Now, before we get to that, I do want to mention a couple of things. First, as longtime listeners of this very show know, I love me some Match Game. It is the greatest game show of all time. If you've heard some of the past episodes, that you know I got a chance to play a few rounds of Match Game with some of my guests, like Ed Asner, Susan Sullivan, Lee Merriweather, Adrian Barbeau. Those are fun episodes. Well, you may or may not know that there is a new version of Match Game that's coming to ABC, hosted by none other than the Shadow himself, Alec Baldwin. Producers are taking submissions for contestants. As you would probably guess, I really, really want to be on this show. I submitted my application, but look, I've got some listeners out there. I've got Comic Book Central Nation behind me, so if you are so inclined, you'd like to get some attention pointed my direction to get me on the show, take it to Twitter. That's probably the best way to do this. Tweet out to Fremantle North America. They're the ones putting the show together. It's at FMNATV. Also, Match Game. It's at Match Game ABC on Twitter. Hashtag Stuber on Match Game. S-T-U-B-E-R on Match Game. Hashtag that out. Let those folks know they need to get me on the show. Look, I've played enough Match Game here with some of the celebrities who've been on Match Game and know the game. It's going to be a blast. You get to meet Alec Baldwin, The Shadow. That'd be kind of cool, too. So time to mobilize Comic Book Central Nation. Let's make this Match Game fanboy's dream come true. If you can tweet that out, that'd be really cool. Some of you are already asking me about it on Facebook and Twitter. So I think it's probably the best way. If you got any other ideas, let me know. Also, if you are new to the show, welcome. Glad to have you here. If you're checking out because you're a fan of Violet Bean, and who is not a fan of Violet Bean? She is awesome. You're going to want to check out the Flash-themed episodes of Comic Book Central that I've already been able to record. From the current CW hit show, The Flash, Danielle Panabaker, Candace Patton, Reverse Flash, Matt Lesher was here, composer Blake Neely, John Wesley Shipp. He was the original 90s Flash. He was Henry Allen. He's now Jay Garrick on the show. Spoiler alert, I already told you about that. And also from that original 1990s show, Alex Dazaire. So much flashy goodness we've been having here on the show. So if you're new to the show, you're going to want to go back and check out those episodes that are Flash-themed. There's even more out there. Head to the website, comicbookcentral.net. You can hit up the archives, each and every episode. They're out there for streaming, for downloading. You can subscribe to the show in iTunes or Blueberry. If you're on iTunes, leave a review. Tell everyone what you think about it. That always helps get the word out. You can stream the show on Stitcher. If you want a handy-dandy episode guide to find some of those back archived episodes, you can find it in the About section on the Facebook page, facebook.com/comicbookcentralnetwork. Of course, we're out there on Twitter at comicbookctrl. That is the entire world of Comic Book Central online. Go check it all out. I think you'll have a blast. Now, on to today's show. Let's get a little bit of background, and then I'm going to be right back to chat with the soon-to-be speedster, Violet Bean. Season 1 of The Flash not only introduced us to the Scarlet Speedster and a year's worth of his rogues gallery, it also showcased tons of twists and turns, shocking developments, time travel, and closed things out with a gateway to Earth 2. I know that's a lot. If you haven't seen the show, be sure to catch up ASAP. There's so much out there to see. Now, Season 2, we got to travel to that alternate Earth and meet up with a few new characters, one of which is Jesse Wells, brought to life by the immensely talented actress Violet Bean. Violet was born in Florida and her family moved to Texas when she was 10. She developed an early interest in performing and after high school landed a role on the HBO series The Leftovers. But 2015 also brought Violet into the world of superheroes with season 2 of The Flash. Now, as comic book fans know, her character, Jesse Wells, is more than likely going to become Jesse Quick at some point. In the comic book world, that character was introduced as Jesse Chambers back in 1992 in Justice Society of America, Volume 2, Issue 1. Check it out. The character was the daughter of superheroes Johnny Quick and Liberty Bell, and Jesse took the name Jesse Quick. At one point, she took up the mantle of her mom, Liberty Bell, then she went back to Jesse Quick. So comics can be a strange universe, but regardless of the name of the character, she is tough as nails and fast as lightning. And on the television series, Jesse is the daughter of Earth 2's Harrison Wells, played by Tom Cavanaugh. In the show, Jesse was kidnapped by the supervillain Zoom, eventually escaped over to Earth 1, and then discovered that her dad will do anything to protect her from future harm.
You're in danger. Do you understand? You're in grave danger.
I know. I'm in danger because of you.
Because of me?
Yeah. Okay, everything that's happened, it's your fault. Zoom hunting us, the Metas, moving here. I'm done with it. Okay, you wanted me to start a new life, and that is exactly what I'm trying to do.
Jess.
You killed a man. I can't just forgive you for that. And I may be afraid of Zoom, but I am just as afraid of you. Please, just go.
Well, my guest today is an actress who can currently be seen on the CW hit superhero series The Flash. She plays Jesse Wells, a character from Earth 2. Something tells me she's going to be going by another name very soon. Here on Earth 1, we know her as the lovely and talented Violet Bean. Violet, welcome to Comic Book Central.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Love having you here. Look, as we record this, I'm still processing the season finale. I've just seen it.
Yeah.
Let's work our way up to that, shall we? There's a lot to process in this thing.
I know.
As we would imagine, there's a lot going on. So let's channel the Speed Force. Let's go back in time a little bit as we talk about this. I'm just kind of interested in what sparked your interest in acting. It was in middle school you started to do a little bit of acting. Is that correct?
Yeah. So middle school and high school, I did theater. I was in theater class and all that. I guess I just really liked it. I don't know. It felt right to be on stage. And then about senior year, we got a new theater teacher, and let's just say we didn't really get along, and he stopped casting me in any of the shows. So,
what was the
problem?
Had
that bug. I still.
What was
I
the
know. Come on, this guy. I still, of course, I still wanted.
Did you
to
not
ask.
Take direction well, or what was? Did you go off script?
I don't know. He was an actor himself, and I think he just didn't. I don't know. He's kind of a diva, and something just really didn't click.
Okay. Now, had you seen productions that were going on, and you're like, oh, I really want to do that, or was there a movie or television show that inspired you, an actor or an actress that inspired you?
I grew up watching High School Musical, and that's really when I realized that I kind of wanted to be on the screen versus, on stage. And then I think when he stopped casting me and I needed to find somewhere else, that sort of just naturally fell into, finding an agent and then, auditioning for more TV movie roles. And then it kind of just went from there.
Okay. That's interesting. Cause some actors I talk to, they say, they just almost feed off the energy from a live audience. And some it's completely different. So yeah, it's interesting to get that take on it.
Definitely. Very different acting, and I think at some point I would love to go back to it, a small theater. For now, I'm
like a little local production or something.
Yeah, I think that could be fun.
Do you prefer comedy, drama, musicals? What's if you could your dream role? If you could get a dream role on in a local play, just doing something, what would you want to do?
I prefer drama. I prefer sort of edgy. Stories where you're sort of finding out what's happening along with the characters. For instance, Orphan Black is my favorite show currently. And I just like that the way that, the story unfolds. And I guess I don't have a specific role that would be my dream role, but definitely something that, isn't just what we say is what's true. So yeah, I don't know. I like dramas, but I love watching comedies, and I'd like to get into comedy at some point.
What were some of those early roles you got into? So you get an agent, you go out. Well, take us through the process now, from middle school, high school, doing these plays to going, okay, I'm gonna be on television now. That's the dream.
Yeah. Hey, I'm ready for TV.
I'm ready, but here I am, Hollywood.
Here I come. No, it was I had auditioned for a few TV shows, a couple movies. That new Richard Linklater movie that came out, I auditioned for that. And then I ended up booking Leftovers. It was totally random. It was like the worst audition I've ever done. I definitely left that audition thinking, well, didn't book that. Great. That was like my shot. But then I got the call that I got it. So
what did you do what didn't you do that convinced you that you weren't going to get it? What was it that you left and you went, oh, boy, I left something on the table there?
I can't even remember exactly what, but I just really felt like I was like, that was like, so she had us go in and I didn't know I was reading an additional scene because it wasn't my character. Oh no, this is what happened. Okay.
So the character, I brought back some horrific memory. I apologize.
Now, thank you for reminding me.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So the character's name was Violet and I didn't realize that. I thought that for some reason, I don't know why I thought this, but I thought for some reason they changed the name on the script to be each person who's auditioning. I don't know why. This was early in my career. I didn't know a lot. So I thought that I was supposed to read, like, I was going to be reading with someone because it said Violet Ann Taylor. And so I was like, oh, okay, so there's going to be someone in there. So I was like, I planned this whole thing out in my head and had all these expectations. And then I got in there and it was just me. And she had me read an additional scene I hadn't read before. And I think that's like, it's just, I felt very frazzled when I left.
Okay. So just you were thinking, like, that was still in your brain as you were, like, trying to emote and do these scenes, and you just
yeah.
Kind of got
I was
in your
like,
head.
How could I think that they would change the name of the character to be your name? Like, I don't know why.
You overthought it.
Yeah.
So what was so the character was actually so then they changed the name what to Taylor Truitt.
Yeah. So funny thing, they didn't cast me as so it was Violet and Taylor. You were auditioning for both.
Okay. Okay. So you're going in for got it. Okay.
And when I booked it, they were like, okay, you're going to be Taylor. And when I got on set, everyone was like, Violet, no Taylor, no Violet. And it was so confusing because the other girl's name, her character was Violet. And everyone was like, why did they not just cast you as Violet if your name is Violet? And I found out it's because they said I didn't look like a Violet. And I was like, well, that's funny because my mom thought so when she named me it.
It's worked for you all those years.
I know. I should have been named Taylor, apparently.
There you go. Well, you thought Earth 1 and Earth 2 were confusing. Man, just the whole Violet and Taylor thing.
Well, I know. Imagine being on set.
Maybe I prepped you. Maybe I prepped you for Earth 1 and Earth 2.
Yeah, maybe.
All these. Okay, so let's talk about The Flash. When did you... take us through that early process. Were you familiar with the show? Had you seen any episodes? And then how did you first find out about this role of Jesse Wells... I guess it's Jesse Chambers Wells?
Yeah, okay. Jesse Wells Chambers, I think, yeah. Who knows?
It's going to be Jesse Quick at some point, so we'll...
Yeah, that's what we're all waiting for.
Yeah.
So I had seen a couple episodes of the show when my manager called me to say he got an audition for me. It was a self-tape, so I taped it in Austin, where I am now, and... it was for a character named Claire, and the scene was she was like at a job fair at her high school, and Barry Allen was sitting at the table for crime scene investigators, and it was actually a really interesting scene because she's like kind of flirting with him, but kind of like, I'm really smart, I know more than you, but she was also geeking out about the fact that she was like, I know you, Barry Allen, like you're the best CSI that, you know, Central City has, and like all this stuff. So I didn't really know, you know, what characteristics to give her or anything like that because she's a made-up character, but I didn't know that at the time.
I'm glad she wasn't named Violet.
Wouldn't that be confusing? about a week later, it was like kind of back and forth. The manager would call me with updates and stuff, and about a week and a half later, I found out I booked it. And then he finally told me that it was for Jesse Quick / Jesse Wells playing Tom Cavanaugh's daughter. And I was like, Okay. Now this makes sense.
But you, up until then, you knew The Flash, you knew it as a TV series, and you had had a chance to prep a little bit with some of the episodes.
Yes, I'd only seen the show. But once I booked it, I went and got comics that feature Jesse and, you know, have her on the covers and stuff. But okay. Yeah, before, I mean, I couldn't go look up any research because it was just this character named Claire. She didn't have a last name. Like, I didn't know, you know what I mean?
Was it trippy kind of watching those episodes? Because you hadn't been, like, a fan of the series leading into it. You hadn't been watching, like, regularly going into it.
No, I don't think, I think it, I didn't watch it regularly. I'd seen a couple episodes.
Okay.
But, you know, I thought it was a good show. I don't think it was on Netflix yet, and there wasn't really an easy way to watch it.
Was it kind of trippy trying to wrap your head around, like, all the, because by the time you're coming into this, they're really starting to get into time travel and all these different things.
Oh, yeah. Before I filmed, I watched the whole series.
Okay.
The whole season. But yeah, no, it was, I mean, it is kind of crazy, like, the idea and concept of it all, but at the same time, I mean, there's so much superhero stuff going on now that, like, I feel like it's easier for people to comprehend, and I think they explain stuff pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, they lay it out there pretty well, and they certainly drop enough hints, you know, as we're kind of going through. We'll talk a little bit about that too. So you did your homework. You went in. We hear this from actresses all the time, where they're like, I went into a comic book store and I got me some comic books.
Yeah.
Okay. What was that process like? And the character itself, it's not like, you know, Superman. Like, you get Superman, you know, Superman, or Wonder Woman. You get, you know, this character kind of has, like, a lot of backstory and a lot of changes to the character as well.
Yeah. Well, you mean from comic book to TV show?
Yeah, and even just, I think, within the comic books, there's just all these sort of different versions and the characters. I mean, you know, just Jesse
For
Chambers,
sure.
Jesse Quick, there's different costumes, there's different... So, because, you know, comic books change every, like, 5 years.
So. Oh, yeah, they change all the time. Plus, like, I think she's a lot in the Young Justice League one.
Yeah.
She's a lot in those storylines. So, yeah, no, it's definitely a bit confusing. Plus, I think the show, you know, while they still pay homage to, like, the original storylines and stuff like that, I think they do a really good job of keeping it new and fresh. So that's really nice, too, because then, you know, you can create this character and you hope the fans like it, which, you know, they've been very supportive. And, like, I've mostly only heard good things from them about my character and about my work. So that's, you know, I mean, we make these shows for them, so that's always good to hear.
Was there anything from the comic books that you read, the stories that you read, that you were able to take and go, oh, I like that aspect. I want to, maybe not even just overt, but maybe just as a backstory, or that you maybe went to the producers and said, can I bring this in, maybe just subtly? Is there anything like that that you were able to bring in from the comic book world?
Just, you know, her strength, I think, is really important, because you lose that a lot, I think, with female characters in TV these days. So I definitely wanted to show that aspect of it, even though she, you know, she is young and she hasn't really been exposed to the whole supernatural world too much. But I did want to show that strength about her. And I'm not sure if they're going to carry over the formula being the reason why she gets speed. But if they did, I mean, it would be interesting. I don't know if I 100% love it, just because I think it reads well in comic books, but it would be very strange, I think, if she had to yell out the formula every time she ran.
There will probably be some homage to it or something. Sometimes yeah. The silly stuff, they'll throw in a little bit just to make it funny.
Yeah, it would maybe look a little goofy on TV, but, you know, we'll see what they decide to do. And hopefully it's pretty cool and looks great.
You're playing Harrison Wells' daughter in the show, played by the great Tom Cavanaugh. Boy, just a really complex relationship here. It's almost like, it seems to, at least me, it's just like a love-hate relationship that you have with the character.
Yeah.
Talk about your approach to hitting those emotional beats of the role and working with Tom Cavanaugh.
You know, it's really interesting. I met Tom like 5 minutes before we did our first scene. But what's so great about him is that you don't really need to, you know him for him to make you feel comfortable. And I was absolutely 100% terrified on my first day, just because I flew in that morning and I had never been to Canada before. I had never really had such a, you know, such a an important big role on screen before. So it was very nerve-wracking, but he was instantly, you know, he made me feel a lot more welcome and helped create that relationship. It's always hard to, you know, when you have a relationship that's already been, discovered and created, but you're in the first scene together. it's always a challenge, but I think, you know, working with Tom really helped and every scene that we did together and every off-screen moment we had together, you know, I think that ultimately only leads to a better connection in the show. And, you know, it is a complex relationship, but I also think, like, most parent-children relationships are that way. I mean, there's times when you absolutely love your mom and dad, and there's times when, you know, they get a little bit annoying, and there's times when, you know...
There's times when dad kills a guy.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently killed a guy, and you know, that's just... I think when you see her run away in that, like, she gets on the bus and she goes away to Opal City, I think, you know, you see that she just needs some time, and ultimately when she comes back, she gets it, you know what I mean? When her father goes missing, she gets how he felt, and I just think, I thought that moment was extremely poetic, and it was one of my favorite scenes to shoot with Tom, for sure.
It's strange, because I think you almost speak for the audience, which, thank goodness, there's a character you can do. I mean, some of the other ones do, too, but they're all, you know, superheroes and things. But I think that we see that as in Tom Cavanaugh, with all the different roles that he's played. His characters do some very horrific things, but then you're like, but it's Tom Cavanaugh. We like him. He's just a cool guy.
No, we like you. You're good.
We want to like you, but stop doing these horrible things. It's very interesting too. We talk about some of the practical effects, I mean, a lot of stuff is post, you don't get to see any of it, but the practical special effects, talk a little bit about that. Just the Flash has a unique way of entering and exiting a scene. I'm still shocked they don't use paperweights in Star Labs, because papers are flying.
I know, right? You think they'd learn by now.
What's been your experience with those practical effects of speedsters flying in and things, you know, and pyrotechnics and all these?
That you ask. Because the scene where I'm eating popcorn and it's talking about Beyonce being mayor, whenever they always do it, it's always way too strong at first. And then they like tone it down a little bit.
This is like this, like he's coming in, there's like this blast where you've got to be blown back and papers fly and popcorn flies. Okay.
It's basically like kind of like a fireman's hose that has a bunch of air coming out of it. And the first one they did on me, literally I was in a rolly chair and I rolled back like 5 feet and the popcorn got all over my face and it was hilarious. And I think it made it into the spoof reel, but...
They had it jacked up a little too high?
Yeah, a little bit too high.
Okay.
But yeah, some of those, I mean, they all are really interesting. Like there was one that was kind of like a spark. But it also was a lot larger than I was expecting. And the first one, I like screamed really loud, and I don't know. They're really fun, and they take a second to get situated. But I think they add, you know, that layer of realness to it. Because if it was all just post or special effects or something like that, you know, it wouldn't be as real feeling, I don't think.
Well, that probably, I would guess, helps you as an actress as well too. If you actually have something to react to. I mean, you think about like Zoom's lair, like, you know, the dankness and the actual set. I would imagine that.
Oh, absolutely.
As opposed to just acting against a green screen or against a tennis ball or something.
Yeah, absolutely. It helps. And, like, luckily I haven't had to do a tennis ball or a green screen ball or something like that yet. But, you know, any amount of realness that you can take in always helps.
How much of the Earth 2 background do you know about the Wells family? I mean, obviously you can't tell us anything. We're heading into season 3. But... Do you have an idea of the backstory that Earth 2, or is that just going to be a complete surprise to you?
You know, I've heard a couple things and I've thought a couple things. We don't know too much about Jesse's mother or Harrison's wife. Some people think Zoom killed her, but you know, we don't know too much about her. There was a deleted scene from one of the episodes where Harry and I and Jesse are talking about her mom, but it's not really, doesn't say how she died or when, or it doesn't go into too much detail. So, you know, it is, I'm not quite sure exactly what happens. And also if there's somehow, you know, an Earth One Jesse, I don't know. It'd be really interesting, and I'm sure they're going to do something really cool in season three. But as far as I know, not very much.
How early in season three do you think we'll know? Do you think it's going to be more the first part of the season, or do you think it's going to take a while?
You know, I'd like to think sort of towards the beginning. But I mean, obviously with all these shows, they have a lot of time. You know, they've got 23 episodes in every season, and they're hoping, you know, the seasons last for a while. So it makes sense that they like to stretch out storylines. But I'm hoping earlier, just so maybe it helps with the character development of, you know, both Harrison and Jesse. And since they, you know, since they did go home at the end of the finale, you know, spoiler alert, sorry.
By the time this airs, anybody that loves The Flash is going to have seen this already. If not, too
bad.
Too
sorry, bad. Guys. We did record this after the finale, though. You had time.
You've had time by now.
It's your fault, not mine.
Well, if you look on any of John Wesley Shipp's social media pages, there's like pictures everywhere.
Oh, I know.
Insane. I'm watching the Penguins game because I'm a huge hockey fan, and I'm like trying to avoid. I didn't watch The Flash until later in the evening. And I'm watching stuff, you know, about the Penguins. And I'm seeing stuff on John Wesley Shipp. I'm like, stop putting it out there already. Like, people commenting. Like, he would say, hey, thanks for the positive energy, guys, or something. And then somebody would post a comment of him in the suit.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Stop it. Oh, us fanboys and fangirls are insane. You're not the first female speedster on the show. Obviously, Allison Page has that.
Ah, she's great.
Well, you got to be in the episode Trajectory. Very cool episode all around. When that character of Trajectory was introduced, did you kind of think, oh, wait a minute, maybe we're not doing Jesse Quick? Or did the producers already say, no, you're Jesse Quick.
I definitely, like, when I saw that, I was a little, like, thrown off just because I thought Jesse Quick was going to be the first female speedster. But then at the same time, it's like more women, the better. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, there's no competition in it. So, like, I don't know. And having her be a villain was interesting as well, even though I've always in the back of my mind thought it'd be cool if somehow Jesse Quick turned evil. But no, Allison was really sweet, you know, and she, I think she did Trajectory really well. And I thought that episode came together really well. It was a great episode.
It's a great episode. And there's a moment in there, with Kenan Lonsdale. I don't know if are we reading too much into things right now between your two characters?
No.
Let me ask you that. What do you read into it as an actress?
I definitely think they're planting seeds. But then at the very end, you know, when she goes home, it's like, how are you just going to leave what you've like started? You know what I mean? And I think it would be very cruel. There's a lot of fans out there that are already shipping Quick West, and I think it might be a little cruel to them to just end it where they did this season. But who knows? I mean, in the comics, right, he's ultimately with Linda Park, if I'm not incorrect. So I don't know. I really don't know. The writers are crazy. They'll do something awesome, but...
Do you guys have, like, a glass to the writer's door and try to, like, find out stuff ahead of time?
I know, right? I wish.
Okay. All right. Now, at this point, correct me if I'm wrong. Jesse has got some Velocity 9 in her, correct? She's been hit by a wave of energy from a makeshift particle accelerator. That's correct.
Right.
And Barry gave her some of the Speed Force.
Okay, how is she not a speedster yet? I don't know.
When do you start running really, really fast? When is it?
Yeah.
I thought for sure we might see something in the finale.
That's three things. Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
She's got to, man. She's got to. Maybe she feels it in her... two or something, and then they have to come back or something. I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay. Well, you went back with Jay Garrick. You went back with John Wesley Shipp. And I think even in his character in the comics, doesn't he kind of like bring the young'uns along and teach them about the Speed Force? And
that would make sense.
Okay. So maybe early season three. What superpower are you looking forward to the most? Look, the seeds are already planted. They've called you.
Yeah.
Basically, I think... Tom Cavanaugh's called you Jesse Quick as you exit out of earshot.
Multiple times, yeah. Crazy.
From running real fast, because we've seen it, pew, 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 everybody runs real fast. Like what? Because we've seen like super punches, we've seen like all kinds of crazy things Grant Gustin's doing on the show. What? And again, it's this character has so much convoluted backstory. I think she can even fly at one point, or part like mimics flying or something.
Right, because she has sort of the powers from both parents in
right,
a way.
Right.
I think if she's evil, which I want her to be,
that's all everybody wants to be.
I know, right? I'm just, I think if I say it, I'll manifest it. if she's evil, I would love to see her, like, phase through people's bodies and rip some hearts out, because that's always really dope.
Oh, my. You've got a dark side, Violet Bean.
I went there.
Yeah, you did. Have you been hanging around Danielle Panabaker till ever you, like, getting some Killer Frost
right.
vibes?
I cold on.
Man, that was, you went pretty dark there.
I know. Well, it looks really cool and it's really evil and people hate it, but they also love it secretly.
Actors always want to play the villains. There's so much like scenery to chew in these things. Have they talked about the suit at all? Have you seen anything? You don't have to tell us what it is, but have you seen any designs or anything?
No, I haven't, and okay. It sucks. I mean, I would assume it's something maroon, but I mean, it's going to be tight and leathery and it's going to look good just because they all look good. I don't know.
Matt Lesher, when he was on the show, mentioned that Grant Gustin gave him some speedster tips for running. There's like a certain pose you have to, like before the special effects take over. Like you have to look. Have you talked to Grant about running?
I've seen a lot of his green screen stuff, and he looks absolutely flawless. And I'm so jealous because I'm such an awkward runner, and his just looks so good. Like, you see it before when it's just in slow motion. And first of all, Grant is a fast runner. Like, he just runs fast, so that's kind of unfair.
Lesher said that. Yeah, he said he would beat everybody in a race.
Yeah. Like, just on his own before, post. But yeah, I should get some tips from him if Jesse finally does beat up, because my run is not so cute.
You got to work on that. Apparently, it was not part of the audition process.
Nope, not quite.
Okay.
I think they would ask, though.
All right, so we've worked our way up to the finale here. I guess it probably makes sense that you and Keenan Lonsdale have not suited up yet. One major speech to reveal was probably all that hour of television was going to take. Thoughts
and
when you...
all the handle.
Yeah, thoughts when you got the script for the finale?
I cried a little bit. And I thought, wow, this is going to be good. It definitely, I think that reveal of, who's in the mask, I think that was really heavy for all of us because of the episode right before and the funeral and, how well Grant can portray Barry's emotions. I think, and that he's okay with portraying emotions, being a male character. I think that's the pivotal, I think that's the game changer for Grant and for Barry. The fact that he's showing boys, you can cry, you can have emotions. It's the same kind of movement that's going on with, women in popular culture and in life right now. So I just think, I think the fact that he was able to show so much emotion in one episode, he was angry, but he was sad, but he was revengeful. And, I don't know. I just thought it was a really poetic episode.
What was the set like the day the John Wesley ship suited up?
That day was absolutely awesome. When that light shone through when he put the hat on, it was such a beautiful moment. And you could tell, you could tell with John that he was just, just happy to be in a suit again. I could tell it, like, brought him back to, the OG Flash. So I thought it was really beautiful.
It's something. I mean, I moderated a Q&A with him last year, and I asked him about it, and he said, "I ain't putting on the suit." That was in August, so it's...
Yeah.
It's amazing. They did it right, though. They did it right.
He did.
It's amazing. How did you play your final scenes with Keenan Lonsdale? We talk about this because you and Harrison Wells and John has Jay Garrick, they go off to Earth 2. You leave him behind. So we talk a little bit about... I don't know. Is it safe to say, like, maybe flirtation early on? or
definitely. I think that's okay. I think that's safe to say. I think, you know, I think they saw something in each other, both being these outsiders, you know, her being from another earth and Wally coming from, you know, this family that he's kind of just met, you know what I mean? So I think it makes sense that the two of them would sort of find each other in a way. So I don't think it's wrong to say that there's flirtation and a little bit of sadness to the fact that, you know, the one person that she really kind of connected with, she's got to leave now. And that day in particular was actually really sad for me just because, you know, I didn't really know the fate of my character, and I don't know about next season too much. So that day was, you know, it was a little sad, and it was just interesting. You know, it added to the scene, but yeah.
Did you and Keenan talk about ahead of time how you wanted to play it?
Not too much. I mean, I think we've kind of both sort of in each scene where we had some sort of flirtation going on, you know, when we were both trapped in the time vault, I think, you know, we both kind of realized, hey, like, maybe this could work. Like, let's just, you know, not play it up, but let's just, you know, see where it goes. So I think we both were kind of on the same page with all that.
Is there anything you can tell us as we head into season 3?
Well, I mean, I don't know anything. Like, I think the writers are, I think they've maybe written an episode or two and they've kind of got some story points down, but I mean, honestly, they haven't started writing. I think they're on their 2-week summer break right now. But just, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be amazing. I think, you know, maybe the real Jay Garrick might be important now. I don't think that they would introduce someone like that and not bring him back. You know, I'd be excited for, you know, everyone saying that Caitlin might turn into Killer Frost and Vibe is discovering new powers. I just think it's going to be, you know, it's a good starting point.
It's going to be crazy no matter what happens. I've asked this to some of the other Flash actors and actresses. If you could ask the Flash executive producers, Greg Berlanti, Andrew Kreisberg, if you could ask them one question right now, today, what would that question be?
What the hell? What was that finale?
Why aren't you in a suit yet?
How could you kill Henry? Sorry, spoiler. Yeah. I would ask that. How could you do that? That's so sad.
Okay.
That's so sad.
Okay. I thought you would go with, when am I going to get my powers? But I'm not, you know.
Also, when am I going to get my powers?
When am I going to get an episode called Quick? Latest projects. Oh. Let's talk about some of these things. Tower. This is a pretty compelling movie. Tell us a little bit about Tower.
Yes, Tower is a very heavy film. So I shot, this is actually the first on-camera project I ever did, and I shot it over the course of 2 years, and it is about the first major school shooting in history, which took place in 1966 at the University of Texas. And the documentary is about half real-life footage mixed with reenactment and half interview style. So I play Claire Wilson, who was the first person shot in the shooting. She was 8 months pregnant, and she lost her baby and her boyfriend, who was walking with her. And, you know, I saw the premiere at South by Southwest this year, and, I mean, every single person in that theater was bawling. It was just, it's such a compelling film. And I think it's extremely relevant right now just because of how many shootings there are in America and you know, how frequent that is. It's heartbreaking and it's insane. But I think, you know, I think what this movie is going to do is bring all of that to light. I think it's easy to turn off the news or, you know, you see something on Facebook and you kind of skim through it or, you know, you repost it and you're like, oh, that's sad. But I think, you know, this movie really puts it in your face and I hope that it gets distributed. I hope that people see it and they start rethinking these gun laws that we have and start realizing that, you know, we need to change it before this just becomes even more normal than it is.
You played Claire Wilson. Did you get to meet her?
You know, I didn't meet her up while I was filming, but I met her at the premiere, and immediately when I saw her, I just started crying, and we, like, hugged each other for 10 minutes, and it was a beautiful moment. It was heartbreaking, but it was beautiful, and, you know, just to see her airiness. She's so positive about it all, and she totally forgives the shooter, and she, you know, she's just so optimistic about it all, and it's really odd, but it's also kind of beautiful in its own way, because, you know, she's come to terms with what happened with her, and she's just a very, very interesting person with an amazing story.
Were you nervous as to how she might react to the film?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I saw her, and I didn't go up to her for like 5 to 10 minutes, just because I was like, like kind of preparing myself. I was like, oh my gosh, she hates it. Like, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? It's hard because it's someone's life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's one thing to play Jesse Quick. Yeah. It's another thing altogether to do something, not only to play a person who exists and then that person's there, but the circumstances surrounding it. That had to be overwhelming for both individuals, I would think.
It absolutely was. And so to hear her say that, you know, she loved it, and only had things to say about my performance, it honestly was one of the best moments of my life. I mean, especially it being my first on-camera project, you know, I didn't really know much about myself or about acting or anything, so the fact that, you know, the instincts were there and that she, you know, saw her story through me is just, I mean, that's amazing.
That is. How do we see this? I mean, you said it premiered, but how do we, is this going to go wide? You said it's looking for distribution right now?
Yeah, so it's touring all over the States and Canada right now at almost every film festival.
Okay.
And it's been back with really strong reviews, which is amazing. But hopefully, you know, hopefully it'll be in some indie theaters. If not, I think we're going to try and get it on Netflix. But really, I mean, I just want to get it in the most hands possible.
Is there a website for it, or do you post on social media?
Towerfilm.com or tower.com, and they're on Twitter and Facebook as well.
Okay, so we can kind of keep an eye on that and see where it's at, and hopefully get wider distribution.
As soon as it's out on DVD or on Netflix or something, I'll be posting about it just to make sure everyone can see it.
Okay,
for sure.
And you've moved behind the camera now?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love when these superhero folks get and they're like, I want to direct, and then all of a sudden they just start. Okay, so you've dipped your toe into the directing waters. Tell us a little bit about this is for Eyelid Kids.
Yeah, Landscape. It's for a music video for Eyelid Kid. I directed, edited it, and starred in it. So it was a lot.
Look at you.
So the music video, I play a deranged orphan girl who has lived in a house with two dolls to keep her company her whole life. So it's kind of dark and a little bit scary. I think it, like, keeps you on the edge of your seat. It was interesting directing. It was my first time sort of in that aspect of it. I think I liked it. I would love to do it again in a circumstance where maybe I'm not doing as much as I was. I was also the makeup artist and in it. So I think it would be nice to just direct, because that, trust me, that is enough on its own. But you know, it was a good time, and it was a story that I really, you know, wanted to tell. So that's going to be cool. We shot it in an abandoned house, in a neighborhood in Austin. And, we shot it without permits. So the cops came and, it's kind of really scary, but we ended up printing out these fake permits, actually, and we showed them and somehow we got away with it. I don't know. Don't tell the police department.
You got it done. You found it. Well, that's the producer in you.
Exactly. I was like, oh, that's real. We're legit over here.
Find a way to get it done. That's the producer in you. Could you direct an episode of The Flash?
Whoa, that's heavy, man. That's a lot. You know, I think I'm going to give myself a couple years before I attempt something of that magnitude, but it would be, you know, I think working with the actors would be really fun, because, you know, I trust their instincts, and I think, you know, a lot of directors, especially episodic directors, come in, and it's not their fault. They just, you know, they want to do a good job, and they've never done the show before, and I think, you know, I think sometimes when they try and do too much and the actors don't agree with what they want, it can be a little, like, stagnant, just because, you know, these actors have done these characters for 2 years now. You know, they kind of know what they're doing, and they know these characters very well. So I think it would be kind of interesting to work with them, because, you know, you can trust them and all that.
Well, Kevin Smith kind of joked about that. He said, you know, he just wanted to stay out of everybody's way. It's like they know what they're doing here.
Absolutely. And honestly, that was one of the best flowing episodes that I've ever worked on or seen. Like, he trusted us, but I think he spoke up enough when he needed to. And that's what's important, you know, is if you start nitpicking or, you know, requesting these things from all these actors when, you know, I think when it's a movie, you have the time to do that. When it's a TV show, you know, we're already working 12-plus hour days, 15-hour days. You kind of got to take what you got. And, you know, I think Kevin did a really good job of letting us do our thing and stepping up and saying things when he needed to.
It's an incredible episode. When you're not shooting as Jesse, are you kind of hanging out behind the camera and looking at these things or taking notes?
Oh, yeah, for sure. When I'm on set, I love to sit by the directors and, okay. and watch the scenes and stuff like that. I think it's really important to know, you know, the shots they're getting. I always like to see the shot before I step into it, just to see, you know, what they're getting. I know a lot of actors don't like doing that because if it's really close up, they feel like they act differently than when it's far away, and some actors don't like to know. But I think it kind of helps because then you know, if it's right on your face, to not do an exaggerated movement that's going to go out of the screen. I think it's really important to know that stuff and study about it for sure.
Okay, so maybe take notes during season three. Maybe we'll not see you in front of the camera. Maybe we'll hear about you behind the camera for season four. That'd be really kind of fun. Upcoming appearances, anything? Are you going to be appearing anywhere, or how can fans find out more about you on social media?
Yeah, so right now I'm doing a lot of interviews and stuff, but as far as other projects, you know, I'm always auditioning, and they've got a couple things in the works and this music video coming out. But you guys can also follow all of my stuff at Violet Bean, and I post a lot and, you know, just keep up with my life and projects and stuff.
Yeah, and it's Violet Bean, Violet with two T's, and it's your nice. Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook?
Yep.
We'll find it all out there. Violet, I'm telling you what, The Flash is a favorite here at Comic Book Central. You can never have too many speedsters on that show.
Ever.
Cannot wait to see what happens to you and Harrison Wells and Jay Garrick on Earth 2. Remember, you've got to practice your running.
I know. Better get on it.
I appreciate you joining me on the show today.
All right. Thank you so much.
That is quite an interesting take on Jesse Quick. I didn't see that coming. I didn't expect that. Maybe, you know, turn to the dark side? Certainly, we've seen that on the show before in some of the characters. But that wasn't one I was thinking of for Jesse Quick. But, hey, you never know. We've seen all kinds of things happening on Earth, too. We've seen doppelgangers. Could we see an evil version of Jesse? No, we're going to have to wait until fall to see what Season 3 of The Flash will bring. That's going to be a blast. But if you want to find out more about what Violet is up to, you do not have to wait at all. Be sure to check out our website. It's violetbean.com. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm going to include all those links in the show notes for this episode at my website, comicbookcentral.net. I will also put up a link to the Tower film we talked about. That's at towerdocumentary.com. That link's going to be on my website in the show notes as well. So all that there, you don't have to remember anything. Just go to the website, comicbookcentral.net. The show notes, you find it all there. Thanks so much to Violet for stopping by and talking about the world of The Flash. That was a very cool conversation. So glad she could make some time to be with us today. Folks, when you head to the website, comicbookcentral.net, you will also find links to follow Comic Book Central on Twitter at comicbookctrl, but there's also the link right there. You can like it on Facebook right from there and subscribe in iTunes. Again, if you're in iTunes, please leave a review. That always helps. On Twitter, share the lair, share the show on Facebook, retweet it on Twitter, hashtag share the lair. You guys are getting that out. All of you fanboys and fangirls are helping out to get word out about the show. I truly appreciate that. As always, my thanks to you listeners for tuning in each and every week. Man, it would be kind of tough to do the show without you guys. So really appreciate that and for getting the word out about the show. Very cool when you do that. And don't forget to drop me a line. I want to hear what your thoughts are. Let me know what you think of The Flash, some of these episodes we're talking about, some of the anniversary Star Trek. We're celebrating 50th anniversary of Star Trek this year. So tell me what you think about the show, guest ideas, joe@comicbookcentral.net. All right, kids, those speedsters can manipulate time, but Superman just does not have that power. We're out of time for today, but don't worry, I will be back in a flash because next week on Comic Book Central, yet another Comic Book Central exclusive as the lyrical Lois and Clark reunite for the first time in over 40 years. From the ABC Super Musical of 1975, It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It's Superman. We've got Lois and Clark, Leslie Ann Warren, Lois Lane herself, and David Wilson, the singing and dancing Man of Steel, together again more than 40 years later. It's going to happen. The reunion you will only find on Comic Book Central. You cannot miss this one, I'm telling you. Until then, watch out for those villainous speedsters. Keep reading those comics. Thanks for joining me here in the Lair, Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivations 3.0 Imported License. All other content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
My projects include releases of solo albums. Pop music would never be the same after Beyoncé left Destiny's Child.
Wait, that doesn't make any sense. When described as one of the... They mean Senator Knowles?